long, drawn-out death necessarily means a worse one. There is no occasion when the soul should be humored more than at the moment of death. Let the soul depart as it feels itself impelled to go, whether it seeks the sword, or the halter, or some drought that attacks the veins, let it proceed and burst the bonds of its slavery. Every man ought to make his life acceptable to others besides himself, but his death to himself alone. The best form of death is the one we like. Men are foolish who reflect thus. One person will say that my conduct was not brave enough, another that I was too headstrong, a third that a particular kind of death would have betokened more spirit. What you should really reflect is, I have under consideration a purpose with which the talk of men has no concern. Your sole aim should be to escape from fortune as speedily as possible. Otherwise, there will be no lack of persons who will think ill of what you have done. You can find men who have gone so far as to profess wisdom, and yet maintain that one should not offer violence to one's own life, and hold it accursed for a man to be the means of his own destruction. We should wait, say they, for the end decreed by nature. But one who says this does not see that he is shutting off the path to freedom. The best thing which eternal law ever ordained was that it allowed to us one entrance into life, but many exits. Must I await the cruelty either of disease or of man, when I can depart through the midst of torture and shake off my troubles? This is the one reason why we cannot complain of life. It keeps no one against his will. Humanity is well situated, because no man is unhappy except by his own fault. Live, if you so desire. If not, you may return to the place whence you came. You have often been cupped in order to relieve headaches. You have had veins cut for the purpose of reducing your weight. If you would pierce your heart, a gaping wound is not necessary. A lancet will open the way to that great freedom, and tranquility can be purchased at the cost of a pinprick. What, then, is it which makes us lazy and sluggish? None of us reflects that some day he must depart from this house of life. Just so old tenants are kept from moving, by fondness for a particular place and by custom, even in spite of ill treatment. Would you be free from the restraint of your body? Live in it as if you were about to leave it. Keep thinking of the fact that some day you will be deprived of this tenure. Then you will be more brave against the necessity of departing. But how will a man take thought of his own end if he craves all things without end? And yet, there is nothing so essential for us to consider, for our training in other things is perhaps superfluous. Our souls have been made ready to meet poverty, but our riches have held out. We have armed ourselves to scorn pain, but we have had the good fortune to possess sound and healthy bodies, and so have never been forced to put this virtue to the test. We have taught ourselves to endure bravely the loss of those we love, but fortune has preserved to us all whom we loved. It is in this one matter only that the day will come which will require us to test our training. You need not think that none but great men have had the strength to burst the bonds of human servitude. You need not believe that this cannot be done except by a Cato. Cato, who with his hand dragged forth the spirit which he had not succeeded in freeing by the sword. Nay, men of the meanest lot in life have by a mighty impulse escaped to safety, and when they were not allowed to die at their own convenience, or to suit themselves in their choice of the instruments of death, they have snatched up whatever was lying ready to hand, and by sheer strength have turned objects which were by nature harmless into weapons of their own. For example, there was lately in a training school for wild beast gladiators a German who was making ready for the morning exhibition. He withdrew in order to relieve himself, the only thing which he was allowed to do in secret and without the presence of a guard. While so engaged, he seized the stick of wood, tipped with a sponge, which was devoted to the vilest uses, and stuffed it, just as it was, down his throat. Thus, he blocked up his windpipe and choked the breath from his body. That was truly to insult death. Yes, indeed, it was not a very elegant or becoming way to die. But what is more foolish than to be over nice about dying? What a brave fellow! He surely deserved to be allowed to choose his fate. How bravely he would have wielded a sword! With what courage he would have hurled himself into the depths of the sea or down a precipice! Cut off from resources on every hand, he yet found a way to furnish himself with death, and with a weapon for death. Hence, you can understand that nothing but the will need postpone death. Let each man judge the deed of this most zealous fellow as he likes, provided we agree on this point, that the foulest death is preferable to the fairest slavery. Inasmuch as I began with an illustration taken from humble life, I shall keep on with that sort. For men will make greater demands upon themselves if they see that death can be despised even by the most despised class of men. The Catos, the Scipios, and the others whose names we are wont to hear with admiration, we regard as beyond the sphere of imitation. But I shall now prove to you that the virtue of which I speak is found as frequently in the gladiator's training school as among the leaders in a civil war. Lately, a gladiator, who had been sent forth to the morning exhibition, was being conveyed in a cart along with the other prisoners. Nodding as if he were heavy with sleep, he let his head fall over so far that it was caught in the spokes.